going on, y'all? What's going on? So we figured we have a few reviews to do tonight, and since spoopy season is winding down.
We're on the cusp of the end.
Right before Halloween, we got things to talk about. Two that are related to Halloween, one that is not, but it does involve a monster, a beautiful green metahuman, who to some is also could be considered a monster in some ways, and also in bed. But anyway,
you stupid.
She-Hulk is long overdue, right? It's about 2 weeks since the season finale. I feel like we can start the congregation there.
Yes.
Okay. So just to let everybody know, myself, Elder Tenchi, Steady, DJ Steady, Are You Ready? Straight from Who They Want Podcast, LLC, and Mr. Shut Up Rick himself. We are... We're just basically going to be doing a little bit of ranting, a little bit of raving, because each one of these things are worth talking about. They're worth talking about, whether it be good or bad. They are worth talking about, and we're going to go full spoiler territory with this. So we talked a little bit about She-Hulk as it was coming out. We didn't do like full reviews. This is not going to be a review, more of a discussion of the show overall and where we think it's going to go for season two. All right. So it's been a while since season one of She-Hulk Attorney at Law has wrapped. What do we think? Okay, let me weigh some pros and cons.
The show was damn good for what it was. For what it was, you know, like, it was the first, like, real comedy that the MCU has had. Like, there, like I said, the Guardians, they were comedy adjacent, but this is the first, I feel like the first MCU dive straight into sitcom territory.
This was an adult humor territory.
Yeah. But it had more of the adult humor vibe to really draw in that audience that, you know, want to see them go with a comic book legend and then go, what if we gave them a real world type of lingo?
Yeah. And then especially the scenes where she is just openly just fucking dudes. Like the one scene where she picks the dude up and brings him to the bedroom. And then obviously the one with her and Matt Murdock getting it on.
But then she gave you like true life of a lawyer. Was that not the life of a lawyer? How do you stay on top?
No,
you stay ahead of the game.
But
so head and top, got it.
But she was, you know, but she was a single lawyer.
Single female lawyer. Having lots of sex.
Unintended.
One thing I don't get. Okay. I understand that they wanted to, this show wanted to stick it to the trolls. Okay. And they did.
Right.
That
heavily.
They were watching tweets. They were watching, people freaking review bombing them before the show even came out, and all of that, and a lot of that made it into the show. But what I do not understand is, what was the deal with people's attitude towards her, towards Jennifer when she's just Jennifer versus She-Hulk?
There's the incel groups. There's the group of incels, for lack of a better term, that just wanted to hate the show because they're like, oh, this is the MCU now because there's more than one female character they're focusing on, and da-da-da, feminism. What the heck ever?
I can't even say it was a hashtag. I would say that annoying phrase I was hearing, the MCU, because right before this we had Ms. Marvel and we had Wanda and WandaVision
but that's the thing. WandaVision wasn't even a female centered show. It was based on two people, but it's just the other person that happened to be a female. Family. Like, so all of a sudden. And it's like, keep in mind too, Yeah, but it's, and it's also like, keep in mind, in the whole of the whole, what, 13, 14 years of the MCU, we've had, what,
mostly
two female-centered films?
We had Elektra came out the back, right? There was Elektra.
Well, there was Elektra, but I'm talking about modern.
I'm talking about
talking modern movies today. We're not talking about.
Okay, like, the Phoenix. Then since we're MCU and MCU, it would be like the Phoenix, Dark Phoenix.
Still not MCU, my friend.
That was Fox. That was right before. Like that.
You movie, know what? I give up. Okay, I'm so sick of these variants of.
No, MCU universe. Is everything from Iron Man on. For the most part.
Yeah.
Because the Fox stuff was still very much active to a degree.
Most of these movies were mostly male-centric, right?
Yeah. Like I said, up until Captain Marvel, which was already, what, 10 years into the MCU?
Right. And aside from that, we had the Agent Carter TV series. Which honestly does not get talked about enough in my eyes.
Well, because it was only what single series one, like it was a one and doneer type thing, you know?
It had two seasons, and then they
only had one.
Nope, had two seasons, and they cut it from the roster. And some people did try to rally for it to come back.
Yeah, I remember. They're like, oh, Netflix, pick it up, save us. This was like before. Disney Plus was a thing too.
Yeah,
like, it was creating these brilliant shows that really kind of they didn't really have no structure because it was their first time dealing with such a product from the Marvel Universe. Yeah. And then being that they more family oriented vibe network, it was like this is too gritty, you know. Then that sexism comes in, and it was just like, okay, what are we gonna do with this? Oh, I got an idea. How about we just cut it?
But as far as the stuff that was, remember the stuff that was on Netflix, we had, we had Jessica Jones and.
Who was, bumping uglies, what, the second episode?
Was second it first or third, or when her
it was
and.
Was very early in that first season where her and Luke Cage were getting it on. Like,
when they found out they couldn't break each other, it was like.
You know what's wild? Because I'm like probably one of the handful of people that was a fan of that comic well before, like back when it was
the original comic was called Alias.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember there's a scene in there where her and Luke Cage are going at it, and it's kind of like implied. Like it's funny because you just like see her face, her head down, then you see her like, oh, like grimacing like real hard. Yeah. And it's like, is he that big? Or is he going in her ass? Like, it's real vague of why she's making this face. Because she's, like, got this grimace on her face. Like, oh, and it's just like... And because it was under the Max label...
Yeah, it was a bit like more adult.
Yeah, like, you couldn't... Like, they could basically show you, like... Well, show and then, like, drop F-bombs out the gate. So it's like... Right. But you still didn't know. Like, you were just reading this panel and it's just like... She's grim. Like, it's that good for her. Like, okay, good on you, Luke Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they brought her back over into the regular continuity and her and Luke Cage get married and have a kid, blah, 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 blah.
That was when I was first introduced to her. It was through a new Avengers comic. They were already married. They had already had the kid. They became a new sector, a new Avengers team. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was introduced to her before before the show came out. But as far as, because... And it's sad that those shows technically don't count anymore.
I know. But, I hate that they retconned all that.
Done. But hopefully they do bring them back in some capacity because they've already done that for Kingpin and they've already done that for
that's what I'm saying. Show. Like, why can't they just like unretcon their retcon where it's like clearly these people are canon now? Why can't they?
But it's the property fights, right? It's every company wants to keep the thing.
This is the thing, though, because in Jessica Jones, she mentions the events of the first Avengers movie.
She does, in vague terms, but yeah, she does. They all do,
and
really.
It's like they, yeah, it's like they're,
but
they, it's like it exists in the MCU, but not the MCU we know,
right? Because the and this is just, and we've talked about this before because we reviewed the Defenders when they all came together. The fact that the TV production, you know, people versus the movies, they did not get along. At least that's what I was hearing. So that's why you would only hear that in vague terms, and you never saw or heard any of that mentioned in the movies. You know, so.
Well, and also because it's like the street level shit. It was like the Avengers, they didn't really pay attention too much to street level stuff that was going on.
They don't have to for us to know. They could have referenced it on TV. There could have been a poster somewhere. There could have been some sort of Easter egg. Absolutely nothing.
Especially with Daredevil. Like, that's the one where I feel like they could have. Because where he operated out of and everything, he was damn near the Spider-Man of that area. Like, everybody knew who he was, but he didn't get the shine that he deserved.
Exactly. So now that they brought him back in She-Hulk, now I feel like my biggest issue was everybody was waiting for Daredevil to see exactly what he was going to do in the She-Hulk show, because they put him in the first trailer. Like, they may not have shown the entire costume, but you knew exactly who that was. You know, in the first trailer, they should have, I think they should have just kept him out, because,
you know, the thing is too, like, especially with them having his very first costume from the comics, it's almost like this is just his reboot into the MCU, because it's just. Yeah. The simple fact that they even like started off with the yellow and red costume is like, okay, this is him all over. Like the Netflix shows don't count.
Right.
And you know,
and
this is them taking it in a Disney perspective, right? So if we're gonna reintroduce them, then we're gonna give him this previously dated She-Hulk and then drop his series somewhere towards the first of the year. And he's supposed to get a rebooted series
under Disney. Reborn. Especially with the simple fact that they brought him back in No Way Home.
In No Way Home, yes. Yeah.
So, like, they definitely got plans for that character. There's,
but it's giving you a little trinket of, you know, what we could do with them versus.
Listen, the simple fact that they've been laying the pipework for him, his MCU return debut, whatever you want to call it, means that, like, they've got plans for this character outside of, like, just what he's cameoed in and now his show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Correct.
Like, there is a long-term big things happening for Matthew Murdock.
Definitely. And as far as Jen Walters and the rest of her crew, like, I don't usually do this because I don't usually think about it that hard, but here are my top favorite moments in She-Hulk season one.
Drum roll, please.
All right.
Number one.
Okay. Number one is that mini fight she had in the courtroom when everybody found out who she was.
Oh, with what's her face? Titania.
Yeah, with Titania. Even though it was a very short, it was a very short thing that didn't really lead into much. I liked it for what it was. Plus, I like her best friend in this. Her paralegal. Like they're really.
Fuck! I can't remember her name, but I know you talk. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. Number two, the dynamic between her and her family.
Yeah, because that's something that we really haven't seen in the MCU before. Like, that whole coming together for dinner, was it weekly or something? Whenever they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that we really haven't seen with any other character. I'm thinking, like, with any other character in the MCU, on account of, the no parents really being a fixture.
Right. Exactly.
For the characters, I'm not talking like, because Hawkeye is a parent. I'm talking like the main character's parents. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
like, there's none that I can. Yeah, his parents are dead. Yeah, like, nobody really has living.
So Aunt May doesn't count.
Aunt May counts to a degree.
Yeah, but Aunt May, unfortunately, is now deceased.
I'm mad. I'm still mad they did that, because it's like May is just.
World. she ain't deceasing Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire's world.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Who, know what? I keep seeing stuff online. Like when the Secret Wars movie come out, it looks like they're going to go all out and bring back everybody. When I say everybody, I'm talking like everybody who's ever been in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I've seen stuff. It's just like they're already talking about bringing back Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield for Secret Wars, among. And I'm thinking like, okay, so does that mean they're going to bring back Eric Bana, or are they going to bring back? Well, I mean, Hugh Jackman is already coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's coming back for the third debt, which I'm still just like, oh, okay, this is happening. You know what I'm saying?
My number three pick has probably got to be it's either between that those dating scenes or when she had that therapy session with the other metahumans at the retreat. Like part of me was saying, okay, so this is a lot of, you know, this is a lot of explanation and a lot of going through what we've already been through, but not a lot of action because this is a movie, you know, because this is a 25 minute sitcom and not a
hour-long drama like every other one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the action movies. I had to keep that in mind, because even though her getting Abomination out of jail and getting him and getting him paroled, that was a great.
I like that they brought him back for that.
Yeah, I do,
because he like when it comes to that in 2008 Hulk movie, it's kind of like the bastard child of the MCU, because they don't really reference it. The first time it got referenced was in Civil War when they brought back dude as Thunderbolt Ross.
Mm-hmm.
But even that was already like, what? Civil War was 2016? So already 8 years into the MCU being a thing, and that's the only other mention we ever got. Like any, not to say mention, just like any other, oh yeah, I guess mention would be the word.
Yeah, because
of that movie, because it's like it was mentioned once in the first Avengers film, and then like that's it.
And since then, like we've gotten Hulk in the Avengers films, and he's been in Thor, but
like I said, like the 2008 Incredible Hulk movie is like I said, the bastard child of the MCU. Like people know it exists, but it doesn't really get the respect.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't get as much. It's not in the conversation like every other movie is.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
It is
except for this conversation.
Right, except for this conversation. It is not in the regular MCU conversation
should be, because this is the thing, because it should be, because that one is the one that really kind of set the groundwork for the Avengers movies.
Right. But they,
because, oh, it was right there neck and neck with Iron Man. Cause I mean, that post-credit scene in Iron Man, and then the post-credit scene in that one where Tony Stark is meeting with Thunderbolt Ross, and he's like, I'm here to, da-da-da. But then you come to find out that Incredible Hulk takes place during Iron Man 2. Like they retconned the shit out of that.
Right. But Incredible Hulk is the only one at this point to not have a sequel. So he's we got Black Widow too, but I don't know what they're gonna do with the rest of that property, because
not gonna do anything with it given that the characters
Black Widow itself is a title. Right.
You know what? You're right. Now I think about it, because I know that the new one, the Yelena version, is going to be in the Thunderbolts movie. So who knows what happens from there on?
Let's just see what happens, because we know Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, right? But right. Black Widow is a program. It's a title. So the next one, the one that we met in, her sister, she could be the next one. right?
She is she already the is. Next one.
She is. It's her, and then you got the Ironheart who's coming out in Wakanda Forever. And then, you know, you got Ms. Marvel. Like, they're building the new...
They're building the young Avengers.
Yeah,
especially Avengers with Shang-Chi supposed to be the leader of them or something.
No, Young Avengers is going to be the ones you just mentioned, and then Scarlet Witch's kids.
Scarlet Witch's kids...
I'm calling it. I'm not, like, saying, like, 100%, but I'm just saying they're going to bring back Wiccan and... What's the other one? I can't remember the other one's name. But they're going to bring... I feel like in some capacity with the Young Avengers movie is going to happen. It's going to happen. And I don't know... Like, they're going to bring all the, like the new... the young Hawkeye girl. What's her name? I can't remember. But her, Miss Marvel.
Kate Bishop.
Like I said... Yes, thank you, Kate Bishop. They're going to bring all these... Because they're going to do it. If they don't do it, I see at least a Disney Plus series.
It's going to be... Right. They're going to get these miniseries, but it's going to lead to that one movie. The movie's going to bomb, and then they're going to have to switch phases and reboot them all over again, right?
They ain't going to bomb. These Avengers movies are fucking...
I know, but you got to look at... Everybody wants that male role lead versus we're going into the heroism side of it, and it's kind of... I mean, as a fan, you're going to support Marvel because you still got them. But they switch roles from main lead characters to main supportive characters now. Right?
Yeah, but also speaking of supportive characters who became main characters, here is my second favorite moment from She-Hulk, and that is seeing Wong again. But
yeah, I like that they brought him back. I really did like that they brought him back.
But not only did they bring him back, they gave him a dynamic with a brand new character. Like,
yeah,
those two,
Madison, but the Y's not where you think it is.
Those two deserve their own mini show or like an
extra. They got to do it right.
That's been the battle cry for like everybody since this season has ended. Everybody, their mother wants a Wongers Madison spinoff in some capacity.
Yeah, I don't want their friendship to just be a one-off thing.
You know what? As much as they're doing like one-off specials now, I don't see why they can't give them just a one-off, just to satiate the fans. Like here's a, or just a movie. You know, just like a Disney Plus, straight to Disney Plus special. That's like an hour plus.
Oh, speaking of,
you do that, then you see Doctor Strange in the background every now and then, but. Instead of kind of glorifying him, it just still focuses on the Wong and Madison.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, because it's Wong. Yeah, it's Wong. He's going to get a Doctor Strange cameo in some capacity.
Yep. But
if anything, it'll probably be like how they used to do those Stan Lee cameos on the Netflix shows, where it was just a picture.
The season finale of She-Hulk, though, like Wong came back to get Abomination for something.
Yeah, he broke him out of jail again. Because he violated parole. They said no more turning into the Abomination, and he's out here doing speaking engagements as Abomination.
But who's gonna track Wong down, right? He's the Sorcerer Supreme. It can be in any continent, any universe he wants. So why not just groom Abomination to just win your money to keep the Sanctum running?
Well, that scene where he confessed essentially to busting him out of jail, and then he just bounced. He's like, "Oh, I gotta take my leave. Bye."
Oh, y'all was waiting to arrest me? You think I'm finna think before?
Right? Wong is like, "You see what I can do, right?" And he does the fucking portal. It's like, "You see that even with my hands tied, I can still do this."
But check this out, and let me know what you think of this. We got two minutes before I gotta sing another link. But so there is a possibility we might see more of Madison.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
she's a fan favorite. I'm not surprised.
There's a possibility we might see more of Madison. Somebody within the within like the MCU writers room, they want to pin something for her as like a mini series or something. You know,
just give her do her like they did Werewolf by Night. Give her a one-off special.
Word
on Disney Plus, that's it.
Word, no, do that because I.
You know what I'm saying? Like on some, like, oh, this is what it's like to be a single woman in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Plus, She sold her, but she gave her blood to a demon, all this stuff that went down.
No, that's the thing too. They could, okay, I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you. Yeah, they could do that, and then that could be the lead up to this dude finally appearing in the MCU after everybody's like, oh, it's this, it's him, it's him, oh, for so long. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody wants Mephisto. Okay.
Exactly. That could be the lead in to him finally being like, hello, MCU, I'm here. Hello, my baby. Hello, my
honey. I mean, because we've been saying that since the whole WandaVision, right? Everybody's been trying to call him out, and yet we haven't got a definite.
What he said.
Yep.
Right, but it took people like Harriet Tubman to be like, she was like, welcome back to the host who rant. We are back.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, okay. No. Number in my last two best moments, okay? It was either between watching the two girls who you thought were going to be, you know, mainly side characters. They came together for a day in court, and you learn more about them. It's either between that or the session that they had with Daredevil after, you know, he explained that she can balance the scales between being a hero and being a a lawyer. Cause
right.
I'm like, you know, I know that the thing about this show is most of it was about her, was about accepting. It was about acceptance, right? Most of it was her trying to accept it, coming to grips with the fact that she is, yes, a lawyer, but her life is far from normal, right? So
kind of give you Bruce Wayne vibes, right? When he's like, not as the Dark Knight, it's like,
not so much reality. Because
wow, Rick, you're gonna kill it already? You're gonna kill it? Why?
No, I'm just saying, because it's like people know that she's She-Hulk.
Exactly. People don't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman. She never hides the fact that she's She-Hulk.
Exactly.
So what she wanted people to stop doing is comparing Jen to She-Hulk as if they're two separate people.
Yeah.
You know,
the same entity. Got it, guys. Thanks for the
correctional. She didn't even name herself She-Hulk. Somebody on the news was
named her that.
She-Hulk.
And
she was just like, okay.
And why,
like Blank Man, right?
Yeah.
Man. Still the crazy. I still don't get why he ran with that.
Because he drew a blank.
Because at the time, he drew a blank, right? And his brother looked and was like, Blank Man.
And she was like, oh, Blank Man.
Really? You didn't even give me time, bro?
Nope.
That's why his brother got the crappy sidekick name. Like,
they didn't even give him a name.
Yeah, right. The other guy is the
other guy.
My point exactly. Hey, yo, remember that part where he was like, shoot me. He up there like, Kevin. Kevin, I didn't perfect your suit. Remember, this was a one-man job.
You're only my suit.
My favorite, You know what's funny? I remember as a kid, I just loved the way he delivered the line. I used to just say that shit just around my friends for shits and giggles. I used to be like, hey, guys, I'm a crime fight.
And for those who don't know,
slap me around and call me Susan.
For those I told you, what Susan. We're talking about, we are talking about a piece of superhero history.
Black superhero history. Get it right.
we are talking about a piece of black cinema that
is available on Tubi for free right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, Blank Man is on Tubi right now.
Is it right next to Meteor Man?
Ooh. Hey, Meteor Man on there? Oh, I got me a Meteor Man is there. And that, I got me a black cinema weekend of low budget superhero movie.
Oh no. You want some early 90s to 2000s black superhero movies? You gotta go
on Blade.
Dolomite. The other two he's talking Dolomite, about, though, right? Wait.
So you're adding Dolomite into the picture. I'm gonna add Pootie Tang. You want?
Oh, you want Pootie Tang? I'm going Samuel Jackson Shaft.
Okay, I got no.
You guys don't even. I can't even.
Brother Man.
Think of anything I mean, now.
Brother no, Man. Undercover Brother.
Undercover Brother. I'm talking about Brother Man.
Undercover Brother has to be on that list. And right next to him is the family from Up, Up and Away from
Disney. Good one, right? So,
that's all we had. That is all we had for the longest time. And no, I'm not sorry. I'm not counting Steel. Okay.
Why the hell not?
I am not counting.
Which is
counting.
Also available on Tubi. No, listen.
If you count in any of those other ones, especially the Disney Channel ones, you gotta count Steel.
I gotta count
fair.
Steel.
Fair vote. It's a fair vote. Okay. We of the black congregation of the host who rant nominate Steel for the bootleg black hero of the month.
Even though Up, Up and Away versus Steel.
Up, Up and Away wins, but
yeah, because structure they had powers.
No, but not just the fact that they had powers. The storyline made a bit more sense on Up and Up.
Can I say something about Up, Up and Away? I like that movie kind of at the like simultaneously existed in the Marvel universe and the DC universe, because they were talking about they had Spider-Man over for dinner one night.
Yeah,
and they couldn't get the web. They were talking about having Superman or somebody. I can't remember who else they were saying they had over for dinner.
They had a lot of comic puns in there, right?
It was like, but they were still these heroes, and they had them over. And it's like, is this like the centerpiece of those universes?
But then you get Eternal, right? And Eternal shows how DC was related to them, with them talking about Superman in a sense. So all of them, they do kind of have these crossfaded moments.
I think those were honestly looking back at it now, I think those were filler lines, because they were like, this is a superhero universe, we have to fill it with we have to at least.
But this is the thing though, this was way before Disney even owned Marvel.
Exactly.
But that's still why they like, were able come on, you gotta know in some capacity that these are not the same universe of, you know, no. What I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not. And plus, I'm sorry, but aluminum foil as a weakness.
Yeah, that was a little bonkers.
That was the stupidest. That was probably the single stupidest weakness I have ever seen.
Don't do that when Blank Man fell victim to a kiss from a beautiful woman.
Well, you know what? Erections are the hardest.
Listen, Blank Man was the nerdiest of nerds. Okay. The nerdy, stereotypical nerd. Still got the girl, okay,
but still and didn't know how to handle his business, so to speak.
But did not know how to handle any of it. Like how they wrote him was so 90s, but so dead wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, listen, no, but I can't say 90s because it's wild that every time she kissed him, this man had to change his shorts.
Yeah, but also
like, every time.
I always wondered, like, looking back at it. Did he have signs of autism or something?
He definitely did. He had signs of something. It was definitely high functioning
nerdism, right?
Yeah, because it's just like everything about that man. It was just like it, he was.
It was socially awkward.
Yeah.
Very yeah. intelligent. Very intelligent. His social skills were. But hey, they made him manager of McDonald's like right off the bat. So,
was he manager? I remember him being manager of McDonald's.
He was the one organizing the meet and greet with Ronald McDonald, all that stuff. So, and I know too. I remember too many details of this movie.
I'm about to watch this tonight because it's been a minute since I've seen it. But
yeah, like when. Because he only got that job when he quit being Blank Man after what was it after the bank exploded. So
yeah, well, after he started getting blamed for everything.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, he kind of went through that period every great hero goes through. You have to learn.
Yeah,
you know, with great powers come great responsibility.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny too because you guys just reminded me like he really had that superhero origin where his grandmother was killed. Like they really gave him a superhero origin.
They gave this was the most comic book. The freaking bad guys had Tommy guns. They
went to war with the mob.
They shot the campaign headquarters with a freaking Tommy gun. I'm like, what year is this again? Oh, this is 1990 something. Okay, fine. Yep. All right. Yep. But getting back to She-Hulk. So.
Yeah, we really had our black comic moment.
We did, and this is gonna be like I'm gonna make that like a little bit of bonus material there.
Fair,
but yeah, this is giving me some great ideas. There's gonna be a lot of content uploaded later. But yeah, She-Hulk
to your only man's
my oh please my. And my number one pick for my favorite She-Hulk moment was the She-Hulk versus Hulk fight, especially.
There we go. I was wondering where it was going to come out.
Yeah, that had to be number one.
During the training montage or whatever.
They're training
when they had to blow off steam, where she was just tired of being pushed around, him trying to overly, you know,
figure
what her trigger was, right.
Right.
Like, you just have to control anger. You have to control anger. I have to learn it. You got to learn it. And she's like, I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah, you beat me to it. You beat me to it.
And we, you know, and while that was, you know, and we've mentioned this before, I think it would have done more a service to them if they showed it a bit more. We got a taste of the misogyny and stuff that she goes through. But
yeah, when she first turned into the Hulk for the first time. I mean, well, you know, after she turned. Right,
exactly. But just like, you know, she explained it to Hulk, which in turn explained it to us. But I'm like, you know, and while it was great and I agreed with just about everything that she was saying, you know, I think
because she couldn't have explained it any better.
She couldn't have. But, you know, this whole season was like we said, about acceptance. Right.
Right.
Accepting her new role as a Hulk. Accepting her, you know, accepting herself for who she is, and trying to figure out where else she can be, you know, she, you know, besides just being a lawyer, that having that balance of being a Hulk and also being, you know, and also being a, there's no such thing as a normal person in this universe. Okay. There's no such thing as a normal person, period. So having that,
well, I mean, if after you experience a massive like joint trauma, nobody in the MCU is going to be normal ever again.
Right, and not to mention now, seeing superheroes and metahumans are a dime a dozen because no one is impressed by, some people are not impressed about She-Hulk. That wedding episode was a mixed bag for me.
Well, because that's how, you know, honestly, if that would happen to you and you got an invite to somebody that you ain't taught, I don't know why she got the invite in the first place.
So they can gloat.
If you got an invite to somebody's wedding and you had just this massive thing happen to you, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to show my ass. Look, are you kidding me?
Look, her old friend, quote unquote, invited her to the wedding just so he so they could show off the fact that they were getting married in the first place, you know.
But then if you notice when Titania shows, and then it was like all these things are speculations of like whatever she was getting herself involved to. It's kind of like she was getting set up to be a part of these events just so they can see the She-Hulk faction come out and really just, you know, yeah. It was kind of like a hidden agenda of let's just really push that. Are you what security defense? Come on now. Her first big case was the science to the whole Abomination thing. Like they were giving her all these hardships.
Yeah, like they did. She didn't even get that job there until after they were like, after she had become She-Hulk. Then they're like, oh yeah, now we got this. We have
a whole. You're never going to be a regular lawyer. Now we're going to build you like a firm for just superhero. Like yeah, we need exactly. that, right?
They told you from the beginning. They were you after that whole thing in the first court went. You know, in that first court case went down. She is now considered a liability. While the other law firm, the rival law firm, wanted to start a division for metahumans, and they wanted her to be the mascot. Her uniform was the She-Hulk form. It's like you have to come in dressed.
You're the poster child of getting us the yes. money we need to launch, and let's not forget the whole Edna costume design guy.
Okay, the fact that they go. I love the fact that the MCU has their own Edna mold.
You know for real, what? I feel like if Stan Lee was still alive, that should have been his role. That would have been his role.
Or like
ultimately, yeah.
Maybe. It makes sense. But I like the fact that they that is the Edna mold of this universe. He is the Edna mold of this universe.
For real.
We got to talk about that. We got to talk about that huge fourth wall break.
The one at the end,
right after she finds out who stole her blood, right, and then she goes to meet Kevin. All that stuff we got to talk about.
That was a beautiful fourth wall break. Just everything.
Was it really beautiful? Or did it kind of stray away from like?
No.
Well, even though we've seen it the entire series, so we were kind of used to it.
Not really.
But to go like outside of it.
I love
they use the fourth wall breaking. It wasn't like they didn't. It wasn't a constant thing. The fourth wall breaking really.
Right, right. I agree with you. It was cool. Especially gotta love that moment where I'm watching it and then I see because I have a smart TV. So when the part came up and she comes through the Disney Plus app, I'm like, exactly. Did my TV just reset itself?
Right?
You know what? You and everybody else watching the episode for the first time thought the exact same thing.
Like, did I just restart something or did my thing?
Right. I'm looking at it like, what happened? Because I was really into it and it froze.
Everybody thought the exact same thing, and then all of a sudden, oh, here I am, and I'm going to do this. That was such a beautiful, beautiful fourth wall break.
Yep.
I kind of wish he had gone into other things like those Lilo and Stitch interstitials from when that movie came out. Yeah. But, you know, you can only do but so much.
If this was a 45-hour episode, they probably would have done a little more given the budget, but they only had less than 30 minutes, but
it was still so damn good.
It was.
My favorite scene is when she's talking to Kevin, and then she asks him about the X-Men, then gives the thumbs up to the camera, like, I got you guys. I got you. I got you.
Yep. Right. That moment was just iconic.
Yep. But I do feel like, you know, even though she was doing exactly what we wanted her to do at that point, I do feel like we never really got that original, all that buildup and everything wasn't really resolved. And yeah, like she pointed out.
Well, that's why she did the fourth wall break, because it's like everything they were, especially that's why she did it then, because she even said like, it doesn't make sense. And that's why she did what she did.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then I love it though, because then it leaves you like a good book of you wanting to see what more can they officially do with this character now. being that she can fourth wall break. And you know, I'm pretty sure in Deadpool 3, it's going to be some mentions of that.
Well, there's going to be, yeah. If she doesn't get at least a cameo where they both, you know, they talk about, you know, whatever, even though canonically she was doing it well before Deadpool was even a thing.
Oh, yeah.
In the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, there's going to be some mention of, like, hey, what's going on? Why are you stealing my, you know, or something like that.
That thing, because that's what he does, right? He insults or he put these inserts. Yeah. Into his films and go over the whole universe. So I'm pretty sure he's going to recap the multiverse of madness type of thing.
I feel like with the third one now, because of, you know, the big reveal, they're going, they might not address the She-Hulk of it all, because, you know, they're gonna, no, this is the thing, they're gonna do some big MCU
thing
as stink for this, because Kevin Feige has already gone on record saying that he wants this third Deadpool movie to be on the same level as like Civil War or Infinity War. He wants it to be that big a scope of a movie. And I'm like, the only way he can really even do this is if he were to do Deadpool Kills the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's done, there's been comics where Deadpool has gone and killed the Marvel Universe.
It
so I'm like, the only way he could do that would be to be, have him kill some version of the MCU. That's it.
Right.
That's,
and then you got Hugh Jackman, the iconic beloved original Wolverine of the franchise, to agree, which would be like his way of pushing up. You got one last ride. Like, there is no future reboot without you. We understand he's older now, but we're cool with CGI. Like, we just want your face to be the character and we'll CGI your body.
You know what, I feel like, I feel like with knowing how Ryan Reynolds is, I feel like the Wolverine in this next Deadpool movie is going to be like a very small cameo. It's not going to be like what everybody's hoping, like a team up movie. It's going to be a team up. It's not going to be a team up movie. It's going to be something where, knowing Ryan Reynolds, he's just going to have some tiny ass cameo in this shit in some capacity.
I'm just wondering to myself with Deadpool and everything, since it has been announced. Now they're saying that we might get Wolverine in his X-Men suit, right? The yellow suit
and brown. Yeah.
The yellow and brown suit. Yeah. I want to know exactly how that's going to look on screen, and will there be a inkling of, like, you know, what will happen next? How would this, because now
keep in mind real quick. I mean, but yep. Like, Wolverine has already been teased in the MCU. There's that scene in She-Hulk where when they're looking at the computer and it's got like, oh, side bits. If you look, there's a scene in it, a little news article, finger quotes, that says that a man with three claws starts a bar fight or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
So Wolverine has already been teased in the MCU. We just need to see in what capacity we're going to get him.
Yeah.
And et cetera.
But also with, now that we've, you know, seen variants of people.
Right.
I don't think the Wolverine that we know is the one that made that article, is the one that they were writing about.
No, it's definitely not going to be. It's not going to be the Wolverine we know. It's definitely going to be the MCU variant of him. It's not going to be Hugh Jackman. It's going to be whoever they get to play him in the
play
MCU.
Him now, but then just like with Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, like, you're going to find some way to infuse somebody into that culture that just, you know, new Wolverine, but then he kind of relates to the Fox Wolverine, like.
Yeah.
They got to drop something. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, you got to keep in mind that even the one from two. I don't feel like the Ruffalo one relates all. Well, you know, I can't even say that because
Abomination was from the 2008 Incredible Hulk, and you see how they kind of put that pun when he was like, "Hey, buddy, wrong Hulk."
Yeah, he's like, I was a different person back then, literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what, too? The thing is, too, even that one kind of was a pseudo sequel to the Fox one or not the Fox, the Universal one from 2003, because he starts off in the jungle and all the other shit. And yeah, like, it's kind of, it was kind of a, in a manner of speaking, like I said, pseudo sequel.
Yeah,
for the most part. Hulk is Hulk, right? Like, Hulk's just Hulk, no matter what universe. Because if you notice how the beginning of She-Hulk started off, they gave you classic Incredible Hulk.
That was more of an homage to, you know, the
1970s Hulk, and that was that honestly was beautiful. You know, that intro was beautiful. I do find it interesting and a little weird that they introduced Scar the way they did, because
that's why she had to stop. That's probably why she had to be like, whoa, 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 hold on. All this stuff dropping that ain't even relevant.
We're finally probably going to end up getting some sort of planet, a World War Hulk.
It's all.
You know what? No, this is the thing. Okay, my thing is, this is what I've been saying. It's not going to be phase 5, but I feel like maybe phase 6 might be the MCU's World War Hulk phase.
You think so?
Because it's already in the guidelines.
They're laying the seeds, especially when they bring Sakaar, his son, to us. We're definitely going to get World War Hulk in some capacity now.
Yeah, I feel like it's evident. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know how. Like I said, this is a simple fact that they brought his son along. It all depends on now that
the Quantum Leap trailer has leaked too as well. All these are things are just going to tie to these universes colliding and you're picking fragments. Like, and it's just going to be the moment where you'd be like, all right, we can keep this, scrap this, okay? Because they still got to do a Fantastic Four reboot too now. We got to look
at that. Well, no, that's happening. That's,
well, no, that's already, that's been in the works. They announced that by the
That's coming 2024? Is that coming 2024?
Yeah.
Right, and then you got the Thunderbolts. You got, you know, got Wakanda Forever dropping next month, and
we know we
see
got
how that ties into. We got Secret Wars. We got the
we
Captain
got
America
the next
4
two Avengers movies. Like, they've already said what the next two Avengers, like Kang Dynasty, and then Secret Wars. So right. I don't know if they're going to do like they did with the last two. I think they're the same year. Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars they come the same year.
Is Secret Wars the same one where Don Cheadle's
Armor Wars.
That's Armor Wars.
See, that's supposed. They said that one. They scrapped it for a show, and now it's going to be.
Now they're going to make it a full. Well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And which should introduce the Punisher, right? Because he's supposed to be under the reboot list as well.
I mean, hopefully, but question. Question.
Answers. Go.
Is the okay. So we know that that Disney will do certain things now within their own capacity. Like
they're going to war them down. Netflix had the best of them, but yeah, continue.
Even though you can watch all of that on Disney Plus via a code, right?
Sorry.
You know, so my thing is, are they, when they finally do give us the Punisher as an MCU character?
He already exists.
He exists in a way. But remember, he was a Netflix show first, so that means that version of him no longer exists. So
you don't know that. You can't make that assumption.
Yes, I can.
We can, based on what they just did with Daredevil.
Based on what they did with Daredevil, that's not the same Daredevil though. He's the same actor, but just like it's not the same.
But no, that's what we're saying is like it can still be John Bernthal. We can't say
I didn't say nothing about the actor. I'm talking about the characters, the way
they're
play.
They're gonna rewrite them, right? They're gonna rewrite them into the Disney Marvel format versions.
Yeah,
and it's not gonna be the same thing anymore. Like it's not gonna be dark and gritty.
I don't know if you're gonna see as much blood and everything else.
Right, they're gonna, and that's why they can come to agreement on the Blade. That's why Blade can't get a director to really focus. I'm pretty sure everybody wants to go with the whole Wesley Snipes format and give it that gory satisfaction.
Yeah,
I really hope they. I know they will figure it out, but
it's gonna be too late. Like, who's gonna want that at some point? You might as well should have just bought Wesley Snipes back and just gave him rights to the character and just did his thing.
Or just made him a writer or a consultant or something. Because
you're killing it. Like, who? I'm not going to be 50 years old waiting on a Blade reboot movie. Like, let's just be honest. Like, at that point, I should draw the line for superheroes, right? Like, okay, at that point, I'll probably be waiting on a Captain Planet real movie. Let's just be honest. Not the Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle might can pull it off.
I want that Don Cheadle one to become a full-length movie so damn bad still. Oh, God. It's been like a decade since that. I still want that to happen.
Oh, no.
I wish that they had done something more with that.
Yo, man, I rewatched that not too long ago, and I'm like, you know what this seems like to me, looking at it from this modern lens, because it's got some years on it now. But it seems like, you know how, okay, last season on Rick and Morty, they did do a Captain Planet parody, right? And this just seems like something that they would do again. Like if they were to go into a universe where Captain Planet went completely mad, you know, it seems like a Rick and Morty thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, like they did it before when they did their Guardians of the Galaxy, the parody there with
there
the
you
fucking
go.
What was it called? Son of a bitch, I'm mad that I forgot what it's called.
I forgot what they're called too, but I heard they're supposed to get a spinoff.
Defenders? Some Defenders or something like that? Some Defenders or I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
Which
it wouldn't be unheard of for them to do a parody of Captain Planet. I wouldn't put it past them at all.
Right.
The Planeteers. Yeah.
So all together, guys, we're gonna do our rating for She-Hulk season one. What do y'all give it?
I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10.
I definitely give. Yeah, I was gonna say 9.5 because I mean it wasn't perfect, but it was damn near.
I just say 10 out of 10 just for its originality of like. Following its own lead, like, you know what I'm saying, because you was always like, look at it and go, it didn't give me the Bruce Banner vibes. It gave you like she's her own entity, her own universe, and then gave her own villain.
Because she's just his cousin. It's not like she had to, you know,
follow his footsteps, right?
Alternate reality or like a female clone. She's her own person. She just happened to get a little bit of his blood in her.
But I have another question for you. Do you think Titania as a villain was wasted, and was this show funny?
I mean, she could have been a little.
She could have did a little more. Yeah, could have gave a little more of an aggressive attack side. But
especially because I really like that actress, because I'm such a diehard The Good Place fan.
The Good Place fan, yeah.
So I wanted her to be in there a little bit more, but like she did what she could. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. With the material that they gave her, she did what she could. They leaned more into the influencer side more than the
superhero. I like that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that they were like, oh, this is the future.
But if you look at the way they do their show, the way they do them in a series, said they never really focus more on the violent side. Like, they really save that for like an expansion of a bigger film. Like, look at the Loki series. It had some action, but it was more of a defining moment of how the multiverse was unraveling.
Keep in mind too, like, there's only about so much you can do when it comes to TV shows compared to movies.
Exactly, to keep ratings, right? It's a different system.
Loki was a drama, and every episode was about 45 minutes. Ms. Marvel, same thing. This is the only show so far that has only been 30 minutes, and this is the first true sitcom from the MCU.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that they had to. There's a lot I feel like they could have done, but were restrained. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like I said, there's only so much you can do in the allotted sitcom time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so because of that, what was your rating, Rick?
Mine was 9.5 because it was damn near perfect, but there were still certain things that I could have been like, oh, I wanted more of this, or why didn't they do? You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm gonna give it a to be honest, I'll probably give it about a 7.5.
Oof.
I will give it a 7.5 out of 10 because there was a lot more I felt like they could have done, but they were trying to get to this one, you know, to this like one part of the plot. Like her, you know, her accepting herself seemed to be the theme, but then other people accepting her, it was like, guys, chill.
Well, because that was the whole overall overarching theme of the show was acceptance.
It's the same person that went in that wedding episode. Like I said, to me was a mixed bag. Not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it was a mixed mixed bag. Her and her best friends, their dynamic, seeing them in court, and then finally seeing like her and Matt Murdock battle it out in both court and in the bedroom.
Okay, I see what you're doing. I love hated it was the tease they set up for another hallway scene, and then all of a sudden She-Hulk is like, bam, I'm here. What you gonna do?
Yep. And I was like, yo, are they when that moment happened, I was like, yo, are they doing the hallway scene?
And then all of a sudden, bam, and she drops, and I'm like, okay, I see you. I see what you're doing, Sig.
But ultimately, I got to give it a 7.5. We'll definitely be watching season 2. Let us know and, you know, give us some reviews on our and on all podcast platforms. See what you think of She-Hulk. Good, bad, whatever. Don't matter. We about to move on to the next topic.
Well, there's one thing too you can't forget about She-Hulk when it comes to the over, like just everything about that show. There's one thing you can't forget about that show. Captain America fucks.
Right? There was that iconic.
Thank you.
Bucky was like,
Big ups to the She-Hulk, to the actress who gave us the She-Hulk reference.
For sure.
I think that was a guy that actually was like She-Hulk stand-in.
No, it's not. It's a female. It's an actual female that high.
The picture?
Did you see? Yeah, they've been talking about all social media.
Hang on, you know, I'm pretty sure that the stand-in for She-Hulk was a dude.
No, it's a chick.
I saw it topless. That's the thing.
You know what?
I saw them topless. I shouldn't say it.
Get off this, sir. You are not allowed.
It was a female. I don't know why I thought it was.
Yeah, she was just built and
tall. No, I'm not acting like there's no tall women like that, but I don't know why I thought it was a dude.
All right, if the actress who played her felt offended, that was Rick.
No, you know what?
Rick.
Okay.
Go to shut up, Rick. No, no. It's been in a 2-year hiatus and leave him a bad review. Because he left you a bad
name. No, I'm just, bitch, if you let me get my point across.
Whoa, no, wait a minute.
No, you know what?
We're not going to speed past like you didn't just say that.
No, you know what? You know what I got it confused with? That's my bad. I got it confused with when they did that Incredible Hulk parody. The Hulk and the She-Hulk and that was a guy, not the stand-in.
Yeah, the She-Hulk and that was a guy. Not the stand-in they used for the body reference for She-Hulk. She is not.
Yeah, I confused myself for a split second.
You got 9 seconds to give me an apology, sir. I will not join. I will not be part of the next conversation.
Let's do it.
To our Christian listeners, we know you will be cutting us down on this part.
It's time for a big old dose of nostalgia.
And witchcraft, if we will.
Because they're going to try and get the kids through the television.
It's time for a nice cocktail of nostalgia with a pinch of controversy. Brought to you by Disney Plus. So
the plus is for, plus we're going to kill your kids.
Hashtag I am Peter Pan.
Stupid.
Okay. So we open with a bit of backstory for the Henderson sisters. We're back in
Sanderson.
Sanderson sisters. Wow. We are back.
Put some respect on it.
We are back with Young Sanderson Sisters, and you learn number one, they're poor as all get out.
Number as two, witches are.
Well, they didn't right. know they were witches yet. They're poor as all get out. They're in early 1600s Massachusetts, and there's no separation between church and state at all. So the and they're being and the oldest is being forced to marry someone she has no interest in, and it's just like, whoa, okay, Disney, I see what you're doing here. You want us to feel sympathetic towards them, and
that's exactly what they were going for. That's yeah.
And we also get to also learning about how strong their sisterhood is, because it was just the three of them their entire lives,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. just three of them their entire lives, and you learn more about how a witch becomes a witch in this universe, because they didn't really go into that back in 93. So,
well, I mean, keep in mind they weren't really trying to expose,
but it's the Salem witch. Yeah, it's the Salem witch trial.
They weren't trying to go deep into like how they became who they are. It was all
they just showed. Okay, we caught these bitches, and now they're gonna kill them.
His witch missing in the town, and then they was like, you know what? It's some ones we already outcasted that kidnapped all our kids,
But I gotta ask you a question. Knowing that opening versus the 1993 opening, which is darker? The first one starts off with a murder, yes, and then the second one starts off with them being, you know, being forced.
Got comical in it, right? And it was more of a, you didn't really see them, like you said, they didn't give you an open exposure to them being magical at that moment.
Yeah. Right? You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy too about that witch that like first, like you realize she's wearing essentially a mixture of all of their things, right?
Yeah, of all their
all of their outfits that they wear in these two movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything from the Enchanted Woods. I'm like, oh my god, this makes sense, because we didn't get a backstory for them. Mm-hmm. We got a backstory.
We were just told that they existed. That's essentially
right,
it.
That's it.
We got a legend backstory. We didn't get like a full synopsis.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Exactly. So I appreciated that. Like they could have opened with, you know, we're gonna go back. We're gonna give you some little tidbits from 1993 and then bring you back into modern day. No, they gave them a full origin story and plus the, you know, the origins of the witch, like how do they get their powers? But this is such a Disney thing. Well, I'll mention it later, but when they show you that they gave you the how she got the book and everything, I was like, wait a minute. I thought because my brain went back to 93, and according to the first movie, I thought the devil gave her the book, but they, you know, it could have just been something that was passed on, because the book was still made out of, you know, made with human skin and
right. But there was, remember, because the guy, you're right, the impromptu guy in 93 who was dressed as the devil, and they go, master, And they was like, "Oh, you brought the book."
When they got the book, it's just, you know, that's just their mask.
But I'm talking about like in the
he represents evil. Let's just say it like that, right? So they worship evil. Any.
And when the shop
real quick too, I don't mean to cut you off, but like it's still 30 something years later. It's still weird that brother and sister were playing husband and wife in that movie. Those two, the ones you just talked about, that's they're Penny Marshall and Gary Marshall, their brother and sister playing husband and wife in that movie.
Hashtag this is still America.
Sorry.
Moving on.
It's still weird 30 years later.
Okay, but now fast forward, like they went from practical magic to, you know, being basically to save their sisterhood from being dismantled, and because they were technically still minors at that time. Period of that era. It was like either marry him and get considered the adult, or, you know, y'all all just go y'all separate ways, and they get raised into different lifestyles. they take off into this whole, you know, Mary Poppins world, going through the woods, whatever.
Mary Poppins was a horror film. Yo, man.
Right.
You know what? They meet the actual real witch. Because you know what? Now you said that. Somebody's going to make an evil Mary Poppins movie.
You didn't
see always a dark story to all.
Oh, hold on. You didn't see that. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Stead. But did you see that trailer that somebody cut together a while, like a few years ago? If Mary Poppins was a horror film,
I'm sure I did. That sounds something I would have seen.
Man, look, Peter Pan got a dark story. Pinocchio got, like, everybody that's rooted to Disney now has a dark perception now.
Yo, this is the thing. No, Disney just devilified a lot of those stories. Like, if you go and read a lot of the original stories, those things are dark as fuck.
Incredibly.
That's why Walt was like, give me the rights to them, right? Because I like what you did as a kid, but I want my kids to read and get a different perspective.
But these are, you know, these were stories from other countries made for kids. And the point was to keep them in line. You know?
Exactly.
The point was.
Till Barney and Sesame Street was created. Sesame Street, then Barney.
But, okay, so fast forward to modern day. And we're introduced to three kids this time around, right?
Two originally. Because remember, they had to force their friend.
And then the third.
Into the party, right?
Yeah.
And at first, I thought the third one was like the third. I thought they were going to go with like the third one was the new kid and the two were having issues, you know, being social or something. But no, they're best friends that they
drifted
they
apart had, and they.
They were having a beef. Best friends that are having a beef. And no offense to those kids, but I do not remember their characters' names at all. I can't remember.
You know, you're not the only one. I couldn't remember their names.
Nope.
I can't remember.
Gave me a list with their names on it. I wouldn't.
I can't remember their names at all. Now, before I went into watching this, I did watch a couple of reviews of this film. And the biggest issue that some people had with it was they said that the new main characters were not that memorable. And the things they did, that's one thing, right? But them as characters, you know, according to some people,
Rebecca and Izzy didn't have this.
Thank you.
Glorified, you know, moment.
I thank you for that, Steady, my man.
You beat me to it, man. Because I was just looking at it right now.
You know, while I kind of get it, I also really like them. You know, like I really like them as main characters. What y'all think?
They were.
Good. It was really dope main characters. Only slack, I was like, really? They jump off to them already practicing Witcher tree in the new age era? Like, who does, like, I don't know. I'm going to leave it alone. That's part of the people that still play D&D and all that type of thing. Hey, whatever your passion is, your passion. Kyle, won't nobody see you out.
I mean, you got to keep in mind where they live. Like, nobody in this town forgot what happened 30, I mean, unless they, you know, even the dude that was like the owner of that store, he remembers everything that had happened 30 years prior.
Like, then you find out he was kind of mid villain, right? He was obsessed with it.
He wasn't obsessed so much as just
he was.
He just wanted to know. Like, I wouldn't say obsessed. He was just a fan, but not like
no. He was a he was a stan. He was a stan. Look, that guy.
You know what? You're right. Because if you're gonna open a store about the. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep this in mind. Number one, that's their house. Their house was once turned into a museum back in 93. That museum is old. It's now. Then he comes along, reopens the store, like reopens it as a store. Has their artifacts. Has the spell book. Has their stuff from their house and remembers seeing them back in 93. But what did he say? His origin story was he didn't have any friends. He got bullied a lot and he was alone on Halloween night that night.
It was the people in Halloween Kills. that survived since like Halloween 2, and then Evil died that night, so did all the childhood kids that survived 30 plus years of Michael Myers. But that's not the story tonight. We're talking about Hocus
Pocus. Especially since this kid is black.
Did I miss something? Like, it's still Halloween related.
Okay. Yeah, but also, but also, this kid is black. He wouldn't have any of that. He'd run. So, you know.
Like, wow.
Listen, if I was in that town and I was a kid and I see just three witches flying over my head, I would have instinctively covered my mouth to muffle my scream, and then quietly ran away because I'm like, oh no. But then also would have been intrigued, like, how? Why is? Am I? What was in those Skittles? Like,
right? But the kid, but he loved them because. You know, not loved in a romantic sense, but you know what I'm saying. Like he was a fan of them.
Because like you said, he's a stan. He was a stan
because he was also a loner. He got teased. He got bullied. He was us,
essentially.
Know? Like he was us. Let's not split hairs here. He was the nerd. He was the nerdy kid.
And you know what? Too like he knew that they would come back eventually. Because why else would he have? Even have that black candle, that black flame candle. He knew and hoped that they would come back.
He tricked them. He tricked the two girls into lighting the black flame candle because he couldn't light it because he wasn't a virgin. The rules from the
oh no, yeah,
the
I know candle. That's what I'm saying. Like he knew that like
somebody he had that for a reason. To, yeah,
he exactly. Find somebody that would share the same outlook that he had.
Willy nilly, like, he gave it to him for free. Like here.
It was the girl's birthday. He knew the kids.
It was her birthday. They obviously
were regular clients.
Still.
They were regular like clients. It was her birthday.
Still. He swapped it out. All right.
Nah, it's Disney, bro. I've
worked at places. You don't give shit for free unless you got ulterior motives.
Right?
Yeah, but also, like, they, you know, what I don't understand is, they live in freaking Salem, Massachusetts. Salem leans into their history. They don't hide it. They will use it to attract tourists.
Exactly.
Right? So it really helps that right before I actually like a couple hours after I had watched the movie, I had saw a TikTok explaining that exact thing. Somebody had
phone was listening.
They had gone. Well, of course, the phone's listening. All our phones are listening.
Shh,
they can hear you. They're all listening. I have like three smart devices on right now.
Oh, son of a bitch!
They're trying to whisper like we ain't gonna track the IP address that they got us locked in right now.
That's the comedy of what I was doing.
You know, but
bum, bum, bum.
But then. Okay, so and they connect everything from the previous film, and it didn't seem forced. It didn't. No, because they took bits. They just took bits and pieces. Here's what happened in 93. Here's what happened when the sisters were young. All of that molded pretty well together.
Weird because this movie felt like for not all of it, but like. It more redemption-y for them.
Yeah, and like there's no real villain in this movie. You think it's them, but really the story's about them, starting from the beginning. It's about sisterhood. It's about the power of friendship. All of that culminates in this movie.
Absolutely.
And keep in mind too, people have been wanting a sequel to this for King ever.
Yeah. Right.
Like since it first dropped. Like they're like, we want more of the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah.
And then I seen the little girl that played Danny's sister from the original film was like, she was kind of hurt, like that they didn't include her back.
No. I heard the opposite. Like I read something that suggests that they did call her, but it was a scheduling.
Right. Movie.
They did want her to be in the next film. She was supposed to be their guide, right? But
and she missed her opportunity. Then when it drops, it was like, oh, now I'm kind of wish
maybe
I could.
You know, that. Maybe next time because she had a schedule.
Did you see
other stuff?
Did you see the articles about the dude that played the main, I can't remember his name, and the main kid in the original? He was talking about how he was high during filming of all that.
What?
Yeah, he was talking about it. The dude, the kid that played the main character in the...
Anybody.
The older brother?
Yeah. He was talking about how he was high during most of that. I'm like, motherfucker, what are you trying to...
Like, Hollywood was high?
Okay,
that's a good one. But yeah, no, he's talking about how he was a good portion of that movie. I'm like, dude, what are you trying to... What is your end game here? Like, why are you telling this story from a movie you did 30-something years ago? Why are you...
I mean, right, like, y'all forced me into... He trying to say Disney forced him.
And not like somebody's going to be like, oh, you were high during that, you poor thing. Here, come start our next Marvel property. Like, no, it's not. That's not how it works.
No, I think he just wanted to tell a funny story. But imagine, like, okay, all right. You heard the backstory of the original Super Mario Brothers movie, right?
Yes, you know I did. Yes,
and how the two mean John Leguizamo and
Bob Hoskins
and Bob Hoskins, they were drinking throughout that.
They were drunk most of that movie. Yeah,
to get through how terrible it would be.
Just you know what too, they were doing those one of the scenes where. Bob Hoskins or John, I can't remember, one of them broke their hand. Oh. And if you look real close in certain scenes, they painted the cast to look like his skin. So if you look in certain scenes of that movie, I want to say it's towards the end because they were drunk so much on that fucking set that you can see that like it's a weird shaped hand type thing.
Oh my goodness.
You know what? You guys talk among yourself. I'm going to look for this right now. Hang on.
Oh my God. Okay. So the two girls go to the forest to do their Halloween ritual for the friend's birthday. They light the black flame candle. It goes up and it starts to light up like a trick birthday candle.
They try to blow it out, not thinking it was the real deal, because in their mind they done been to that shop and it was like a novelty gag. They didn't know like this was initially the real original black flame candle.
You know, that's the thing that pissed me off about that, because it's like this is a story. This is a like everybody that still lives in that town, if they were kids or however old you were, that they still remember that this is a thing that really happened. You would think that people would have searched for that fucking candle. So that
what is this Nightmare on Elm Street type of vibe, right?
Like exactly. Like
this, don't say it, don't mention it type of vibe.
Exactly. Like just don't. If you find like look for this candle everywhere you can. Make sure this shit don't happen twice. But then
the boy from 30 years ago gets it from out the cemetery, kept it for years, and rewaxed it, and basically, you know, was like, yeah, I'm gonna wait till I become an adult, and then I'm gonna use this on a. I'm gonna study the culture and how this was created. And
well, he was probably thinking.
He got some weird hocus pocus going on with his.
Okay, you saw that too. Okay, thank God. I thought it was just me. Okay, y'all saw that too. All right.
But he did.
I'm done with this conversation at this point.
Don't test me, son.
Like he might not. Like he. I don't think he was thinking that he was gonna end up not being a virgin anymore by the time he was in his, you know, adult age if he had that candle. You know what I mean?
But this is the thing, though. He was clearly, like, 10. Well, you know, I want to know when he found the candle, because he had to have found it after he got a piece of ass for the first time.
Yeah, some point.
It says he showed up, he followed them from the moment he saw them fly over the sky, and by the time he got to the graveyard, that's when Danny and them had already got them when it was blowing up. He said he was there when they evaporated.
He didn't follow them all the way to the graveyard. He just saw, he just saw them flying. Because right when he saw them,
hold of this candle, though. When did he get a hold of this candle? Because it had to be after he had already got his first piece of ass.
It was at some point during his adulthood that he probably got found the candle.
That's what I'm saying.
Because also keep in mind, he's working out of their house. The candle was still there. So,
right.
So, and why? Okay. Here's another thing. Here's another
That's
thing.
That's right. I forgot that the candle was there. That's right.
I'm sorry, but I have to just ask this. You know that these three witches were brought back from the dead from that freaking black flame candle. Why is that house still standing?
You know what?
That's my house still question. Standing after 40 plus years.
Why is that house still standing? I know it's Salem. I know that they want to lean into the scary and the spooky and everything, $4 and everything, and plus part of their history. But why do you have?
Oh, you know, they could still lean into their history without keeping that structure there.
Exactly.
There was no reason for that, because that is a good fucking point.
Why is there was that no reason house still there? Why are people?
There was no reason for the house to still be standing.
No, absolutely
get
not.
Get the black flame candle and destroy it.
I'm talking from 1993 on. They turned that joint into a museum. Why? Why? You want to don't turn the house into a museum. Just have a separate building. Get rid of that freaking black flame candle. Okay? Because all you need.
Yeah, they should have thrown that shit into the ocean.
Like, get rid of that freaking black flame candle. And have those awesomely.
I told you he was there at the cemetery. Gilbert was there at the cemetery.
He was. Yeah.
It says, "I saw you." He recalls, "I chased you all the way to the cemetery, but it was too late."
Yep.
He was there.
They had already exploded. By the time he got there, they had already said bye bye. You know, I'm just wondering to myself, why was that house still standing?
Because of they didn't think it was going to happen again. That's the only reason I could think of.
Yeah, a good 29 years later.
That's the only reason it's still standing, because they figured, oh, we're not going to have virgins in our town anymore. No one's going to light that black candle.
Okay. So it was the book that maybe the magic of the book kept it alive. Because it also says here.
Because the book can't be burned. It can't be destroyed by normal means. So
the book is what showed Gilbert how to make a new black flame candle.
Right.
Candle, my bad.
No, I'm just sure about to make black flame soup. You're right, Campbell's, yeah. Black
flame. My bad. Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to read too fast. I stumbled a few. This is why I don't talk on the show a lot. You see why? This is why I make mistakes and I'm grounded for life.
I'm sorry that tickled me. I'm sorry.
I know. I didn't realize I said it half past 10 ago. You realize
it was so
it's a candle clear as day. He was like, Campbell. I'm like, I hope nobody catches that. You try to talk too fast.
You forgot who you was fucking with, sir.
You know what, Rick? I'm inviting you. I have a host podcast tonight on my network. I'm inviting you to join me and Kyle as we interview these two artists tonight and bring some Shut Up Rick energy to the Who They Want.
Oh, wait. We working tonight?
Yeah, I forgot I had a booking. Two guys are supposed to drop a song on Halloween. So we're supposed to give America a snippet of their new video or something that we're working with as well.
Okely dokely. All right.
Going to the show.
Oh man, he said Oakley Doakley. I thought about Ned Flanders and then Halloween's correlation of the Simpsons. Halloween's have always been cult classics.
Yeah,
and then you started thinking about how Flanders was wearing. It feels like he was wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Stupid, sexy Flanders.
Flanders was low key the pimp of the neighborhood.
So,
yo, that dude, you know, I feel like if he wasn't such a devout Christian, that dude would be slaying ass left and right.
Oh, we know.
Because it was a year about his wife died, and it was like he killed her. And then one day they finally re-showed the episode when the tornado came and technically Tucker.
Not even just that. Do you remember when Homer made that video for him for the dating site and he caught that glimpse of him in the shower?
In the shower?
That blur was unnecessarily long.
Didn't know you were paying that much attention.
You couldn't not pay attention to it. The thing went to his knees. Are you kidding me? I did, wasn't trying to focus on it, but it drew the eye. What the fuck you want me?
It drew the eye.
Yeah, we're going to need you to edit this insert. We're going to need you to edit this insert out.
Oh, no. No, don't worry. This is going to be part of something else. So.
I know it. But we the host who we're at, right? So, like, yeah. This is what we... But I don't think that socially awkward moment Reach has had needs to be broadcast into the world. Yeah,
I don't care who knows. Like, I don't. It's not like I was looking at it like, yeah.
This is the moment I make a pun from your show. I'm making a pun from your show. Shut up, Rick. Just shut up.
That's not so much a pun as just reciting the title, but I get what you was doing. Appreciate.
Wow. Wow.
We did do that on the first episode. At the end of the first episode he ever did, somebody did say, "Shut up, Rick." And he's like, "No, we're not ending it that way." It's
yeah.
Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pushing Rick to come back to his Pride and Glory podcasting. We're going to get him a contract to who they want, Entertainment LLC.
Once I'm, you know, back to 100%, because I'm getting there. I'm still at like hovering around 80. Once I'm back to 100, it's a fucking wrap for you.
I got to give him applause, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time we did a whole rant episode, and he hasn't disappeared on us throughout the segment.
Why'd you bring it up? You didn't have said anything. Because now you're going to put it out there. No, I know.
Now watch. Then I'm going to invite him to my show tonight, right? And then you're going to get the curse of, like, see, you shouldn't have manifested it earlier. Now you're going to get it on your network.
I have to say, you shouldn't. You should have shut up. You shouldn't have said anything.
I know, but that's the homie, right? Like, we done built such a bond as the whole rant. Like, I love this old man. Because, like, you got me and Kyle kind of the neutral, seclusive ones. And then Rick is like, oh, y'all ain't going to say it? Well, I'm just going to say it.
You damn right. That's why I'm here. I bring that ferocious energy. No, not ferocious. That what the fuck energy. Like, what the fuck? Like,
I think one of my, you know what, our new fan, Jonna Marie, was talking to me about Elder Tenchi on the show, about some show caps the other night. And she was like, Kyle's just so laid back. I said, yeah, he laid back and he, because he know how to work on other people's platform. I said, but get him into his element. I was like, you see a whole other turned up side.
For real.
I was like, he's very humble and very, like, conversationable on who they want. But then once you in his playground, I'm like, he's a whole nother vibe. I'm like, he's me on his network, as you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be him on mine.
Sure. Well, thanks, man.
Of course.
Okay, so where were we? Oh yeah, why the heck is that? Why does that house still exist? I don't know. But the resurrection of the sisters after 29 years starts with a musical number. Like,
yeah, that was a weird choice this time around, because they waited at least halfway through the movie before they decided to do a musical number in the first one. This one, they out the gate like, we're back, bitches. And
we get two different. So what? So if you say nobody was there. Say nobody was there. And they accidentally summoned them, not in the Enchanted Woods, but in one of their houses or something. Right? Who are they going to be singing to?
Apparently the audience, the way they did it.
That's what happened in the first one. And the first one, they didn't light it outside. They lit it in their shop.
They lit it in the shop. But the musical number
was not included.
After they lit it, the musical number was, about halfway through the movie.
Yep.
But that was in a different sentence after they was getting chased, and then when they went into the parents was partying at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when the song number came for the original version. But yeah, like he said, like, this one just went immediately show tune.
Yeah, out the gate. Like, they were like, hey, we're back.
The choreography and everything. Like, what?
I guess that was just saying, it's been over 30 years and y'all been asked. It was kind of like, let's do it as a tribute to the fans of the whole thing.
I'll take that.
Because you know what, not for nothing, this movie did have three times, because it had that one, then it had the other musical number in the middle where they were trying to get the mayor or whatever, and then for whatever reason, that thing they were doing at the end during the credits is like, really, again? They really wanted to sing in this movie, didn't they?
Oh well, yeah, they really wanted to sing, but I will say this, the actresses here, the the sisters, the OG
Sanderson,
they did not miss a beat.
They damn sure didn't.
Their chemistry was still there. They did their thing, and really they aged really well. Like
the beauty of Hollywood, they are witches for real.
Oh,
you know what's funny? You know what I noticed in this? It was really funny. It made me chuckle a little bit. Is in when they first come back, or not too long after they first come back, Winifred slaps the crooked smile onto the other side of that one. Mary, Winifred, and whatever the other one, Mary's face, yeah, because the other one was named Sarah. She slapped her so hard, like the crooked smile went to the other side of her face, and I was like, okay, movie, I see you.
And you know what's funny? So I was watching the latest episode of Abbott Elementary, and they had made a joke. They were talking about like one of the characters was having a church screening of certain movies, right? Certain Halloween films, but because it's you know they're Christians. They cut it down to like 20 minutes each.
Yeah, I remember that.
and they said, so we'll watch Hocus Pocus without Sarah Jessica Parker. And I'm like, oh. All right. So
and we're back.
So all in all, cuz what would you give Hocus Pocus to on a scale of 1 to 10?
Compared to the first one, like in the first one, like I said, it's beloved. I love that movie as a kid. I still genuinely love, that, tripping over my mouth. It was a worthy sequel. You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, it was damn near 30 years. I liked it for what it was. It was a worthy sequel to the original.
Yep.
It did what it wanted, you know, it got people excited and hang on, because we're gonna have to edit some stuff out. My mother's here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You know what? They couldn't come up Waterbury, so I got dropped off right in my grandma's house.
Nice.
Hey Kyle.
Hey B.
Hi, Kyle.
He says hi and bye to you as well. Okie doke. That's the plan. Okay, where was I now?
Yep. So it got people excited. It was a worthy sequel.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a nice, and I like that we got a little bit more origin for the Sanderson sisters.
Definitely.
Showing like what's going on. Like it did what it was set out to do. It was to get people that were fans of the original more another adventure with the Sanderson sisters.
Yep.
And kind of their redemption arc. You know, like, not, I can't even say that. It's just, you know, Winifred, after what happened to her sister, she's like, I'm nothing without them. Da, 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 da. And so she was like, okay, this is the end for us. Da, 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 bye. And you get what I'm saying? I feel like I'm tripping over my mouth.
It had a lot. This had a lot of heart.
I should have said redemption arc because they didn't really redeem themselves.
This had a lot of heart though, you know.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah,
you know, it had a lot of heart, and it showed the importance of family. And
yeah,
you know, and it really, like I said, the sisters to me did not skip a beat, but. This isn't my
That's the thing. Yeah, like you wouldn't have thought it had been 30 years since we last saw these characters.
Right. But this isn't my rating time. This is yours. So
I like I said, it wasn't without its flaws. I liked it greatly. I give it a 9 out of 10. I mean, it still had some things that I was just like, you know, but it's easily a 9 out of 10 for me.
Nice. Nice. I'd give it a solid 8. I'd give it a solid 8 because what giving us more lore, you know, giving us
that,
more
you know lore. What that played a big part into that, my that, yeah that, did, that played a big part that, for that me did
play a big part in giving us more, you know, idea of like how the powers work and, you know, all, you know, and all this stuff. And then them having a fan that's going, you know, he's going so like he's going so far to revive them and everything. And like then you have the but then you have the main the main girls. And while I like them, I've seen at least one of them in other stuff.
With the main girl, I haven't seen them in anything.
I have seen one of them in a, I believe she was, the one with the glasses. I believe she was on an ABC show that didn't last long. It was about it was a love story. It lasted about one season. She played the
was it a sitcom or
sitcom dramedy? It was
on ABC.
I describe it as a dramedy on ABC. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
It was called The Beauty and the Baker. Right. And
oh, I'm not familiar.
Yeah. It made its way to Netflix. It made its way to Netflix.
Was this an ABC family show?
And no, actually this was a ABC, it was an ABC channel show, not an ABC family show.
Beauty and the Baker?
Yeah.
Hang on, I gotta look this up real quick. The Baker and the Beauty?
Baker and the Beauty, thank you. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Baker and the Beauty. It's about a guy from a Cuban Cuban American family who ends up after breaking up with his girlfriend after she proposes to him, right? He breaks up with his girlfriend shortly after that, and he meets runs into a celebrity, and they end up, you know, after a while they end up falling for each other because, you know, antics and stuff like that. And I believe this is her, one of the main girls in Hocus Pocus 2.
I just looked it up. It is.
Yeah, she played his youngest sister, right? There's three kids. They all have their own passions, they all have their own story arcs. You know, one is an aspiring musician. The other is and she is trying to figure out, herself. She's trying to figure out her sexuality. She's trying to figure out what she wants to do for her birthday when everybody else wants a quinceañera. And she's like, well, that's a little old school. It's a little sexist, all that stuff. She don't want it, you know, and the parents are trying to figure out what they're going to do because they love this baking shop and places around them are being gentrified. There's a whole thing. And it only lasted about one season.
Yeah, it did, because I'm looking at this info right now.
And I was
It went from April to June of 2020.
And I was 2020. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know, right? The less said about that year, the better.
Sheesh. And
yeah, the main chick on it, I've seen her in other stuff.
Right. And ABC act like they don't know what to do with it, you know?
They didn't.
They've had dramas on their platform before. I don't know what was the deal there, like, you know. So, but I'd still recommend giving it a watch. You know,
I'll check it out. You know, if I see it, I'm not going to actively look it out. But if I see it, I'll be like, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like if I'm scrolling through something, I see it, I'll be like, yeah, okay, there we go.
Yep. But even though I cannot remember their character names, I still feel like they were cool friends, and I'm glad that they were able to, you know, reconcile their friendship. Like this had a lot of themes to it, you know, a lot of obvious themes, yes, and it did leave me with some questions, which is why I can't necessarily give it, like, I feel like I gave it a fair score. I feel like I gave it a fair score. And when it hit Disney Plus, it was like one of the highest rated original releases on that platform, right?
Really?
When it dropped, yeah, because it's Hocus Pocus too. People have been waiting for it for.
Oh yeah, that, you know. I'm sorry, I thought you were still talking about that other show.
Oh, that other show. Yeah. If it was,
yeah, you kind of seamlessly went from talking about one thing to another.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice it. Yeah, I'm not surprised that Hocus Pocus 2 did what it did, because people have been wanting the sequel for 30 years.
Yeah. I think it's worth watching with, you know, I think it's worth watching with your kids if you want to take them down, you know, nostalgia boulevard, you know what I'm saying?
Memory lane, because
I mean, come on. Disney makes bank off of nostalgia.
Yeah, they do.
That's why we get these sequels. That's why we get these prequels. That's why we get these shows.
That's why we get these live action versions of shit. Live action
versions, except for freaking Lion King, which was a hyper CGI realistic fest.
Yeah, I'm still wondering like how this Mufasa's prequels is going to be. I mean, not like CGI. I'm just like. I bet they're gonna tell how Scar got that name. I bet they're gonna do that.
It's probably gonna be a story. Obviously, gonna be a story of why they have that sibling rivalry.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, like who, like why was it that one would now? It was probably because Mufasa's the older brother, so he's automatically, you know, going to be the next heir. So maybe his brother, because we already know Scar was jealous of him. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what else they could do. Now they did.
Oh, it's definitely going to be exactly that.
They did say in Lion King 2019 that Sarabi and Scar used to have a thing, right? So maybe they'll show that and why she fell in love with Mufasa, and I don't know that whole thing. That's the best I can come up with because it does not need a prequel. But whatever. It didn't need to
exist. No, you know, I'd like this. No, I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, I want to see just where that rivalry began. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Because mm-hmm. you know, like I said, they're gonna play it up. I'm just seeing, like, I want to know what was the, you know, the Sarabi thing might be. You might be right on that.
I'm just thinking of what new elements they added into the new version of the movie. You know, because otherwise, I don't see how anything would tie in to it. You know, but we'll see. But
yeah, we'll find out in a couple years.
Yeah. In the meantime, in between time, I think we're gonna stop here. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, me too, bro. My mother just got home. We're gonna cook. I'm gonna cook something in a minute here.
Word. All right. So we're gonna stop here. So you give it a 9. I think Steady gave it a 10, and I gave it a solid 8. I appreciate you being here, brother. Both you and Steady. And
really, I do what I can.
And we will be back with more nerdy news, views, and reviews. Thank you everybody for listening. Check us out on every podcast platform and leave us a review if you can. And come back for the next episode of On the Brain with a couple of hosts who rant.
Nice.
All right. So in the meantime, my peoples, we bid you peace, love, and
nerby gerbil.
Beautiful.